Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So as I was preparing this message, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know if every pastor feels this way, but some of them I've talked to do. It's days like Transfiguration Sunday and Christmas and Easter where you're like, what am I going to say? I preached everything I can possibly preach on the same text over and over again, and it's those days that make me the most nervous about preaching. But I always pray that God will show me something new, and guess what? He does, because that's how amazing God is, right? His word is always new to us. We can open the same verse every day, day after day, and we're going to see something new. And one of the things that really caught my eye today was the fact that the transfiguration continues. It didn't end. It still continues. So let's take a minute to talk about transfiguration. First of all, we know that in the transfiguration, the glory of God was shining. So I looked up what glory means, and here is what glory means. Because I said, you know, we'd use this word all the time. How do we really define it? A high renown, honor won by notable achievements, magnificence or great beauty, praise, worship, and thanksgiving offered to a deity, a luminous ring or halo, especially depicted around the head of Jesus Christ or a saint. And that came from the dictionary, Merriam-Webster's dictionary. That's interesting, isn't it? So glory, you know, is this brightness of God. It's this beautiful shining of God, this radiance of God that comes from him because of his loving, notable work, primarily his death and resurrection for us, his care for us, his overwhelming care and love for us. This is this glory of God. And we talk about in the Old Testament, we'll talk about that in a minute. We talk about it in the New Testament, you know, and this is the beauty of God, the radiance of God, the light of God. This is the light that we talk about. And we'll talk more about that as well. And then I looked up transfiguration just to see what the definition would say, and it says a complete change of form or appearance into a more beautiful or spiritual state. Many people have transfigurations today. That's called plastic surgery, but that's not what happened to Jesus. Jesus became dazzling white, shining with the glory of God on that mountaintop. The transfiguration is a manifestation, a making known of the beautiful glory of God. The transfiguration is a manifestation, a making known of the beautiful, beautiful glory of God. The people of the Old Testament couldn't handle God's glory. They were so bound by the law, so bound by false righteousness, so bound by not understanding the true gospel and true salvation, which we know, and especially as we look back, that true salvation is by faith, right? If you read, I think it's Hebrews chapter 11, the great chapter, by faith, Abraham did this, by faith, so-and-so did this, by faith, so-and-so did this. It was credited to them as righteousness, and they were saved. But the Old Testament people had a hard time understanding that, and it blocked them from seeing God's glory, so much so that if they saw the glory of God, most of them would die because it was so dazzling and so radiant, they couldn't be in the presence of God's glory. And then in our Old Testament lesson today, we hear about Moses coming down the mountain, and he was glowing, right? I think he might have been using oil of Olay. My grandma used that, and she used to glow. But anyways, whatever he was using, he was glowing, and the people were shocked, and they were afraid of it because they kind of realized that, wait a minute, this glowing is not just from Moses. This glowing is coming from God. And they were so afraid of it that Moses had to veil himself because they were still viewing the glory of God, the salvation of God, the wonderful works of God, the love of God through the law. They were still believing that they could be saved by their own righteousness. They were still believing that they had to do something to earn God's pleasure and respect. It was veiled from them. It had to be hidden from them because of the spiritual state of their lives. And then we fast forward to the epistle lesson for today, and we hear St. Paul tell us how that glory continues to shine in our lives, and we're going to talk about that because that's crucial. What must it have been like, though, for Peter, James, and John to go up that mountain with Jesus? Think about that for a second. They were Jews. They knew that if the glory of God was seen, they could die. That's why they were terrified, by the way. You know, it said they were terrified. Peter didn't even know what to say. You know, Peter, when he doesn't know what to say, he says something pretty silly most of the time, right? Let's put up a tent and stay here. Forget about the rest of the people. Let them die. We'll party up here on the mountain with you forever, Jesus. And Moses and Elijah, they can just stick around with us. They were terrified. He didn't know what to say. As God shone the glory of Jesus before their eyes, they didn't pass out. They didn't die. Instead, they saw this beautiful, magnificent proclamation of what was happening before their eyes, because there before their eyes, God's glory was being revealed in Jesus Christ. God's glory was being revealed in Jesus Christ. Even we know that as God declares from the cloud, "This is my son." God's glory was being revealed in Jesus Christ, the plan of salvation for you and for me. God's glory was being revealed in Jesus Christ, saying to the world, "This is my son." In fact, Jesus says, now, don't say anything about this until I've risen from the dead. The disciples still didn't get that, right? They still didn't know what he was talking about. But the glory of Jesus was being revealed to them so that their hearts might begin the process of understanding who Jesus was. God's glory was revealed in the Word. God's glory was revealed as the law and the prophets surrounded him. Moses and Elijah surrounding Jesus with him, confirming what we have known for all time, you and I, that the whole Word of God testifies to Jesus Christ, even the Old Testament. So many people today in our world don't get that. There are a lot of theologians who don't understand that. There are a lot of denominations who don't understand that. They think the Old Testament's the Old Testament and has nothing to do with what we do today. We live in the New Testament. The reality is it's our labeling old and new, because that's not true. The Old Testament refers to the old prophecy, or the old promise, the old covenant. The New Testament refers to the new covenant and Christ, who fulfilled the old covenant so that we could live. So here before these disciples, God is shining his glory with both the law and the prophets, testifying to Jesus, saying, this is what we're about. This is what it was all about since Genesis chapter 3, when God promised a Savior. This is what every word of the Old Testament is speaking of. Every action, every prophecy, every piece of the law points to this moment here, that Jesus Christ is the living Word of God, who is the glory of God the Father coming into our world. God's glory revealed in history. Just as Moses and Elijah were there revealing God's glory in the Word, they were revealing God's glory in history, because Jesus was always interacting in history. Nothing came into existence without him. And many of times when we hear the term in the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord, we know from the Hebrew idiom that's referring to Jesus. And we see him appear several times in the Old Testament. So history is being testified to as all pointing to Jesus Christ and his glory. Here's the other thing we learn. God's glory is revealed in mountaintop experiences. Now, you've heard me talk about mountaintop experiences before, but let me review it for you just in case you forget, because I forget, and some of you may have forgotten. I'm not saying you're forgetful, but you know, right? Mountaintop experiences. There's a study of theology that we call typology, and it's perhaps my favorite study of theology. And what typology does is it looks up, for example, the word mountain, and it traces that word all throughout Scripture and looks at how mountains appear every time they appear in the Word of God. And every time a mountain appears in the Word of God, guess what happens? Something spiritual, right? Always something spiritual. Golgotha was a mountain. Sinai was a mountain. We can go on and on. The Transfiguration happened on a mountain, and there are many more. And so we learn that anytime a mountain is mentioned in Scripture, something spiritual happens. And these mountaintop experiences are really great experiences in our life, but sometimes mountaintop experiences can be hard, because what do you have to go through before you get to the mountaintop? The valley. You got to climb up the mountain, don't you? It's through that valley and through that climbing that when we get to the top of that mountaintop experience, God reveals himself to us, showing that he's been with us all along, that he's been our strength, uplifting us, holding us, getting us up and through those valleys onto the top of the mountain, that he's never left us nor forsaken us. These mountaintop experiences are glory experiences that God provides in our life, where we can sit down for a moment, relax, and look at the salvation that God has for us through his death, through his resurrection, through his eternal glory in heaven, through his light shining in our lives, through the work that he continues to do as he walks by our side and promises to hold us and love us and not let us go. Even in those valley experiences, even in those hardships in life, God is still with us. Sometimes we don't see it, but he is still with us. We see it when we get to the mountain and look back, right? You know that story of the footprints in the sand? We see it when we get to the mountain. You see, God's glory is revealed most in our lives when we get to those mountaintop experiences. But they come with a struggle. But the struggle's beautiful, because God grows and stretches our faith so that his light may shine in our lives, so that his glory may be revealed in us. You see, if we lived up on the mountaintop, just like St. Peter said, right, would we have the opportunity to ever shine the light of God to others? No. It's in the valleys and the crevices and climbing up the steep hills where we're able to shine the light of Jesus. As St. Paul says, we do not have to hide the glory of God in our lives, hide from the glory of God in our lives, for it is revealed in the gospel. No longer does the gospel wear a veil to us, because Jesus has set us free to see the gospel. Jesus has set us free to see the glory. Jesus has set us free to revel and marvel and praise and worship in that glory. We don't have to hide our faces from it, because we see it every day. We see it in the word. We see it in the sacrament. We see it in the overwhelming love that Jesus has for us. We see it in daily living. We see it in daily loving. We see it in our joys and our sorrows. We see it in our testimony, our story that Jesus has given us to share to others. This is where we now see the glory of God. We don't have to run from it. We don't have to fear it. We don't have to be afraid of it. Instead, it shines in our life. You know what baptism, do you remember what happens at baptism? Does everybody know what happens at baptism? Yeah, right? We're good Lutherans, right? But at the end of the baptism, there is a candle that is lit, right? And that candle is lit from the Christ candle. And the Christ candle's obviously reminding us that the light of Christ is with us, that his glory is always present, right? And we hand that candle to the parents, and then we say this: let the light of Christ live within you. May the Holy Spirit cause that light to shine so that others may see him and know him. Or variances of that. The light of Christ is in us. The glory of Jesus lives and shines in our lives. Because of the gospel, because of baptism, because of the word, because of forgiveness, because of eternal life, because of the Lord's Supper, that wonderful sacrament, that glory of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit shines in our lives so that people around us may see the glory of God and give praise for what he's done. The transfiguration continues in our lives. The glory of Jesus continues to be transfigured in our lives as we shine his light. You see, we can't stay up on the mountain forever. We have to come down. We have to come down into real life. We have to come down where people are hurting. We have to come down where people are broken. We have to come down where people have mental illness. We have to come down where the homeless live. We have to come down where those who are sick and ill and who are dying live. We have to come down out of the mountain into real life, shining the glory of Jesus that is with us, that does not depart from us, his amazing love, his amazing life, and his forgiveness to those around us, to bind up the broken, to heal those who are sick, to pronounce the good news of Jesus Christ and his eternal salvation to those who are dying, to be hope and comfort to those who are depressed and sad and weary, to walk hand in hand with those who have no hope or joy. And in doing this, the glory of Jesus shines in our lives. We are transfigured before others with the glory and light of Jesus, not by our works, but by the light that shines in our lives by virtue of baptism. The transfiguration continues. Indeed, the glory of Jesus continues to be transfigured in our lives as we shine his light. St. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, "For you are all children of the light, children of the day. We are not of the night, nor are we of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing." What wonderful words from St. Paul. The transfiguration continues as we build one another up, as we live in fellowship, as we shine the light and love of Jesus, as we go into a world where there are a lot of valleys. We go being the presence of the transfiguration in the darkness of a world who desperately desperately needs to see the light of day. In the name of Jesus, amen.